I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Think they will ultimately consent and say they're not going to continue building a nuclear weapon? How will you verify?
If they don't, we're not making a deal, okay? So there's no deal. This whole thing about it was is really about no nuclear. They cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if they're going to have a nuclear weapon, we'll be living with them for a little while, but I don't know how much longer they can survive. We could take out every one of their bridges in 1 hour. We could take out every one of their power plants, electric power plants, in 1 hour.
That is President Trump on just how hard we could hit Iran if there's not going to be a peace deal. We're at that final deadline again, and he says he will not extend it. Of course, that will probably depend upon whatever can come out of these latest meetings scheduled. We are in the St. Louis area, 8 hours behind Israel, closer to 10 hours behind Pakistan, which is hosting the talks, but doesn't mean it's taking place in Pakistan. And the point of contention, the Strait of Hormuz and Iran and its nuclear capabilities and desires, they are 8.5 hours ahead of us. So a lot of what I give you plays out in different time zones and certainly at different levels of concern. And President Trump in that direct statement to Maria Bartiromo, we can take out every plant they have, be it nuclear or any other type. We can take out all their oil facilities. We can do it all within an hour. I have no doubt that that's true. Will it mean obliterating them or just reducing them to non-ability to function? The bottom line is they'll be offline. And in the midst of this, it is not just amazing nor shocking and not even frustrating. It's angering and shameful that there are so many Americans they're hell-bent on us not winning against Iran. Why? I want to read you a headline from Breitbart. This is a right-wing publication. Listen to this. Tehran's last lifeline, the American media. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Pretty damn accurate. And we've got members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, they're getting a little weak-kneed, and even if they were with Trump, they're getting a little concerned, and they're being whipsawed back and forth, and they're bending. I correct that. They are breaking. Trump does say, if we don't get a ceasefire by Wednesday evening, and keep in mind the time difference, it is, quote, highly unlikely he will extend. He's already made several extensions. He's also made it very clear we're not interested in killing people. We're interested in stopping the regime from having nuclear weapons. And NATO allies kind of still sitting on the sideline, twiddling their thumbs, suggesting we're going to form a coalition of willing allies to deal with the Strait of Hormuz. In other words, they're still blah, 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 blah talking. Trump is taking action, which benefits them, but they don't want to acknowledge it. And you know why? Because in many of those foreign nations, they've allowed so many illegals inside their borders, migrants that are pushers for Iran. Not the U.S. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, April 21, 2026. And I remind you with this program, With Larry Connors USA, you always get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more when we finish each hour than you do than when we begin. I'll make a point of it. And reminding you, we are live streaming. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, audio and video. Available at Newstalk, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, or anywhere you want to take your podcast. We don't care where you get it. We'd like you to use us, but that's your decision. But I do ask that when you pull up a podcast, please share it with someone else. You are our multiplying factor, and I thank you. In our next hour, I would say a shocking survey on Americans' declining support for Israel. Declining support. And later in this hour, sex scandals and other crimes in Congress. And my guest is going to address how many of these things are still being covered up. And our story behind the story, when thousands of Americans bought do-it-yourself homes through Sears Roebuck catalog, and it would be shipped to them by rail, they would pick it up at the train station and then build their homes. There are many inside the St. Louis area, and we'll get to that later. But to General Jack Keane, four-star general, he says, if you look at what the Wall Street Journal has reported, we should be paying attention.
The Wall Street Journal is indicating that the Iranians, while they've not made a public statement that they're coming, they certainly notified the Pakistanis that they're coming, and they're the hosts. I think they may bring a larger delegation this time, because the last time they weren't able to make any decisions. I suspect they need to make some decisions in front of the Americans, as opposed to rushing home to check signals again. So if these discussions are going to be meaningful, they're going to have some decision makers there. But look at the president's got a lot of wind at his back here. He's got the leverage of the blockade for sure. And that has had a great impact, as you're indicating right now, in terms of oil prices. But more importantly, what we have done here in the blockade, what it's about, is shutting down all of Iran's exports. They're obviously their oil exports, which is significant, but also all of the other trading that they're doing, which brings in revenue. It touches 80% of their revenue, which is absolutely staggering.
And how much longer can Iran last at that level? Well, of course, if you're at the very top of the regime, you can live for days and days and weeks and more. But those below suffer. And the more they suffer, the more rebellion you're going to see. Regime change, yes, we would like to see that happen. Many of the Iranian people would like to see it happen. But our main concern still, nuclear weapons. Now, General King was talking about, it appears Iran is going to send a delegation, but exactly who, to the latest talks. The Iranian parliament speaker said, we're going to reveal new cards on the battlefield. Trump, by imposing a siege, violating the ceasefire, seeks to turn this negotiating table, in his own imagination, into a table of surrender, a justly renewed warmongering. Consider the source, the Iranian parliament speaker, and consider if he has any ability whatsoever. And General King says they will try to test Trump.
Listen, hardliners here. Vahidi has a couple of choices here. One, okay, work it out with Galibov and let's not test the president. Let's go to the negotiations, but put some strict controls on Galibov in those negotiations. Or, and they're capable of this, Sean, test the president and accept going back to combat operations, because in the end, where they are, they believe that the president will not go completely to the end of it. The pressure on him politically and economically will force him to end it prematurely, and they'll still be standing, and they'll have leverage as a result of it. And no negotiations taking place at all is what he is possibly thinking. And I'm trying to put my head inside a bona fide hardliner who was the guy that was in charge of the Quds Force, and guess who he gave that job over to? Qasem Soleimani. So this is the elk of what we're dealing with here. I just wanted our viewers to understand some of the thought processes that may be going on here, and even the extreme that I'm mentioning, and why wouldn't they accept what's plausible and also reasonable? Well, because this is the Iranians, and we got a long time history with how unreasonable they actually are, and they don't care about their people. They care about what? Personal survival, the regime surviving.
And Ghalibaf is the one he was referring to as the Iranian parliament speaker I was quoting a moment ago. And he says in his social media account, "We will not accept negotiations under the shadow of threats." But I want you to keep in mind, our enemies are not just over there. And by enemies, I mean anyone who wants to see America fail and Iran win. Maria Bartiromo questioning California Congressman Ro Khanna.
Are you suggesting that Obama's leadership on Iran was better? Because under President Obama, there were 14 wire transfers to a... Hold on. There were 14 wire transfers to a Swiss account linked to Hezbollah between 2014 and 2016. That was a total of $1.7 billion. The same $1.7 billion he told Congress was frozen Iranian assets. Now, there was a back channel to Tehran through Valerie Jarrett, active for 2012 to 2024. This was after he left office. So, you know, it was almost like a shadow government. He also sent pellets of cash in a plane to Iran. Now, why would you send money to Iran knowing that they are building a nuclear weapon and they are the leading sponsor of terrorism?
Barack Obama was a great statesman who left America much safer. I wouldn't put Donald Trump in the same paragraph.
No, you certainly could not put him in the same paragraph, because Barack Obama and what he was doing set us up for where we are right now. And now we have currently a U.S. Senator of Connecticut, Chris Murphy, who's been in Spain just to trash America on foreign soil.
Want to bring you greetings as well from a nation that is in crisis. I'm not going to sugarcoat the gravity of what we face right now in the United States. This is the most significant threat to American democracy since the Civil War. Donald Trump in our country is trying to end our democracy. We are not on the verge of a totalitarian takeover. We are in the middle of it. He is trying to seize control of our courts, of our law enforcement, of our media, of our elections. His goal is oligarchic capture.
That is Connecticut Senator Murphy at that progressive gathering in Spain, trashing America. And he also uttered another line on a social media post. He wrote in response to a post that 26 ships in Iran's shadow fleet have made it past our U.S. blockade in the Gulf of Oman. 26. His response, awesome. Awesome. Can you spell treason? Consider where we are. They want Obama. What if Biden had been succeeded by Kamala Harris? Have you considered that possibility?
This is what Kamala had to say about Iran during her presidential campaign.
What country do you consider to be our greatest adversary?
I think there's an obvious one in mind, which is Iran. Iran has American blood on their hands, okay? This attack on Israel, 200 ballistic missiles. What we need to do to ensure that Iran never achieves the ability to be a nuclear power, that is one of my highest priorities.
So if you have proof that Iran is building a nuclear weapon, would you take military action?
I'm not going to talk about hypotheticals at this moment.
And this is Kamala on the Iran war after Trump took action.
When it comes down to it, is that if we want to stop Donald Trump with this random decision that he has arrived at, then Congress must act, and Congress must act immediately. The American people do not want our sons and daughters to go into this unauthorized war of choice, and I unequivocally oppose it.
Damn it, do you not understand what's at stake? No, they don't. They are clueless. The Iranians want freedom. They welcome what Trump has and is doing. And nothing underscores that more than this Iranian woman now inside our states.
I just want to say, I love this country so much. I love the United States of America to a point where I'm protective of it. I mean, I guess you could call me a patriot at this point, but coming from an immigrant family and having lived in places like Iran, like Turkey, I realize how privileged and lucky we actually are. And I'm really grateful for this country, for its constitutions, for freedom of speech, for its rights, for democracy. And when I see people who don't appreciate what they have here and are just hating on it, people who've never lived elsewhere and are using their freedom, not for good, but to burn the flag of the country they live in, even if it's their right, it's just so disrespectful and really upsetting. Disgusting, actually. I also don't understand why someone would choose to live or stay in a country that they hate so much. I mean, no one is forcing you to. You can always leave. You can always go somewhere that aligns more with the laws and the religion or the culture that you love. But that's just the thing. You wouldn't, because then you wouldn't have all those rights and the freedom that you have now. So, I am forever grateful to be in this country.
So
God bless America.
So a great statement by an Iranian woman, a patriotic statement on behalf of our nation. And yet we continue to have members of Congress continuing to hammer Trump, and they're looking for it for political reasons. You don't like Trump. I got it. But do you hate him more than you love America? And I'm going to tell you, in some cases, many of you do. Shame on you. I can tell you that even if the president in office was one I did not like, when we're in the midst of something like this, I might question what we're doing. I still do. But going out and basically condemning him and our nation? Coming up, my guest on sexual misconduct in Congress and other hidden stories. And the story behind the story. Homes bought through catalogs. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes. The German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping round the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping round the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We had a report from the House Ethics Committee yesterday publishing a list of all of its publicly disclosed sexual misconduct investigations going back to 1976, 28 different investigations involving former Texas Congressman Gonzalez and California Congressman Swalwell, both resigning from the House last week, and even the late Congressman Wayne Hayes of Ohio. In a total, 14 were Democrats, 12 were Republicans. One, who since passed away, Congresswoman Alcee Hastings of Florida, investigated twice for pursuing a sexual relationship with a staffer in 2014 and again in 2020. And now her labor secretary on the cabinet resigning because of possible sexual liaisons with a member of her staff. What the hell's going on? John Gordon joining us. He's an attorney. He was endorsed by Trump for the 2022 governor's AG, Georgia AG position. John, welcome aboard.
Thank you much for having me today.
So all of these things laid out, we've gutted the fish, but I'm not sure we got all the guts out.
That's a fair assessment.
So how many cases are still uncovered, ongoing, as I speak?
You know, I don't know. I have no way of knowing. All I know, a lot of people will remain silent and will not do not want to bring attention to themselves over something like this. So they just don't report it. And so there's really no way for us to know how far and wide it goes. But I've worked on Capitol Hill. I worked for a United States Senator when I was in college. And the Hill is teeming with young people, interns, young staffers. And there is a lot of sexual tension in the air. So throughout my career, you know, I'm a very visual person. I appreciate attractive ladies, but I've just always known better than to bring it into the workplace. It's forbidden in our culture.
Yeah.
And the fact that the leaders of our country would engage in it is pretty alarming.
Yeah. Before we go any farther, there is that great big hush fund, which has been paying off basically to buy silence from some in the past.
I think it's apocryphal. the we should have full transparency. And for the taxpayers to be paying for hush money, I think is a travesty.
What is your thought about the legal and ethical implications of disclosing the internal investigations, which I was just reading?
Well, there's certainly not anything illegal or unethical about disclosing reports that have been made in good faith, unless you have reason to not to trust the information. Then I think the American people are entitled to seeing it. And you know, I'd personally draw a line at the workplace. I mean, what someone does outside of their job is really between them, their spouse, and their God. And I think that this prurient interest that we seem to be focused on does not actually lead to some of the best people agreeing to serve in the public. I think we have unrealistic expectations and ample hypocrisy to go around. So, but certainly there is consensual relationships, and I don't think those have a place in the public forum unless it's inside the workplace, and then that's a different story altogether.
You know,
certainly non-consensual, regardless of where it takes place, I think deserves to be recognized.
That is one of the allegations against California Congressman Swalwell, a direct statement of rape. Now, again, this allegation, his word, her word, and that's where a lot of these cases will fall. So are we really getting any, let's say, satisfaction in resolving and making sure whoever is accountable for false statements or false actions is facing the consequences?
100%. And I do feel, you know, they always say, oh, well, I was just guilty of bad judgment. No, you weren't. You were guilty of rape, dude. Don't color it with your, yeah, you bad judgment, but you raped the girl. I mean, come
allegation,
on.
Allegation. You're an attorney. You know that's an allegation.
Of course it is, but they acknowledge it when they say, oh, I had a lapse in judgment. I made a bad decision.
And then say, like you were saying, it's just between my wife and me. When no, it's not, when you're in a member of Congress and you're dealing with congressional staffers.
100%. And that is incredibly bad judgment, but it's worse than that. It's bad character. You're using your power to take advantage of someone who lacks that power, and in many cases they're of young age, so they also lack the judgment. So it's just bad on every level when it transcends into the workplace.
And when you talk about it at that level, that jumps into my mind, Monica Lewinsky. She and her age against Bill Clinton, a powerful man, obviously, the president. So a lot of these young staffers, they're influenced, they're swayed. And while it might be considered consensual, you also have to look at how they were looking at it in the sense of, what can I get to further my career?
Oh, boy. Here we go down into the rabbit hole. I do have the perception that Monica Lewinsky was a willing participant. I've never heard her make any allegation that she was taken advantage of.
Right.
I think the real villain in that instance, well, there were two. Bill Clinton, he desecrated the Oval Office.
Yes.
You know, Ronald Reagan would not walk into the Oval Office without a suit and tie on. And to bring that activity into the Oval Office is an embarrassment. However, having said that, I think Linda Tripp is the person that I've disliked the most in that whole thing, because she had no connection to it, and it was purely a political opportunistic move on her part. I had little or no use for her.
All right. Let me pull you out of the rabbit hole in our last couple of minutes here. I've always had the position, I really like Billy Graham's approach. He would not even be in an elevator by himself with a woman. If he's on the elevator, a woman's coming on, he either gets off or more people get in. I've always had the policy at work. The door stays open if a young woman comes in to talk to me. The door stays. But it's a very private thing. I need to talk to you. That's fine. The door stays open. I don't even want the perception. When you come to fishing off the company pier or working inside your romance at office, everything becomes an opportunity for someone to cause havoc and chaos.
I totally agree. And when you allow it to happen, you're inviting turmoil to come into your life. And I follow the same policy that you do. I employed a lot of younger people in our company, and many of them females, attractive females. And I always left the door open, and my secretary was sitting right outside. And preferably we would hold the meeting in a more open place, not inside my office. And if it was a personnel issue, in the HR office with the HR officer.
Right.
In a non-threatening and safe environment.
And then there's the other issue of homosexuality. Young male staffers who have been victimized by congressional members.
I don't have insight into that. Most of the instances I'm aware of have involved females, but I'm sure that it happens.
Yeah, there have been allegations of that over the years for some time. But the point is where we are now. Are we missing protections for staffers and whistleblowers who want to put a stop to it?
I think the protections are there. I think the question is how aggressively are we actually investigating these allegations, and whether there is justice for the victims. I had the perception that it's largely covered up, and that slush fund that you referred to at the beginning of the interview is active and alive. And that's the issue that I have with the whole thing, among others.
What's it going to take to make that public?
The American people have to stand up and demand transparency and justice. And it's the American people have the power. They just have to exercise it. So you write letters, you call talk radio, you make your voice heard. And if enough people do it, the legislators will respond.
You're listening, John Gordon, attorney. He was endorsed by Trump in the 2022 Georgia Attorney General's office, and he has his own syndicated radio show, The Truth with John Gordon. John, I want to thank you for your time and your insight, sir.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know that we're going to get transparency anytime soon. And then it's a matter of whose ox is being gored, correct? Yeah. Our story behind the story, when Americans were ordering homes through a Sears Roebuck catalog.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta. But you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm ready for it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
There was a time in America when people didn't buy a house by meeting an architect or paying a contractor. They opened a catalog, picked a style, placed an order, and then an entire house was loaded onto a train and shipped to their town, just like an online order placed way back in 1910. These homes once stood all across America. The early 20th century across America was defined by new communities rapidly rising to meet the influx of people moving in search of work. Dirt roads, half-finished roofs, the sound of hammers and freight trains chugging through town were the familiar sounds of that era. At that time, having a roof over your head wasn't just shelter, it was a pivotal milestone, confirming a family had finally set down roots in a new place. As Americans flooded industrial states for factory jobs, the need for decent housing became critical. But building a house the traditional way was neither cheap nor fast. Materials were scarce, builders charged high fees, and construction dragged on for months. In that environment, the word home was often more of a dream than a reality for the working class that formed the nation's economic backbone. Before catalog homes arrived, Americans were already accustomed to a different kind of consumerism: mail order. From pocket watches and sewing machines to shoes and seeds, everything could be ordered via catalog and delivered. They trusted this type of transaction, having used it for decades before thinking about buying a house. Americans of that era were highly practical. If there was a way that was cheaper, faster, and more convenient, they were eager to try it. They were already used to opening a catalog, marking the item, sending the order, and waiting for the goods to arrive at the train station.
Sounds a little bit like today's Amazon, right? We're talking about Sears Roebuck mail order homes from their Sears home catalogs through the 1910s, 1940s. In fact, according to Sears, from 1908 to 1942, they sold more than 70,000 of these homes. Many went to customers in the East Coast area and the Midwest states. I'll get to that in a little bit more detail, specifically Missouri and Illinois shortly. But they also went as far as Florida, as far west as California, and even into Alaska and Canada. I'm holding here in my hot little hands, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, or he would say nicotine stained, I think, one of the building plans offered by Sears Roebuck Catalog, $1,995 in free building plans to put your home together. As you heard, everything would be put onto a train and shipped to you. They had 370 different designs. I've got another one here for $2,065. This would be a 10-room residence. Again, it's coming to you by rail for you to put together. But it was popular for Sears.
When the idea of a mail-order house was still new to most people, Sears was in a vastly different position than its competitors. Sears wasn't just a store, it was a routine, a consumer trust that millions of American households had relied on for years. The thick, hundreds-page catalogs of Sears already rested on kitchen tables, on living room shelves, even next to the beds of many families, like a book of purchasable dreams. That habit established a powerful foundation. When Sears announced they could sell an entire complete house, that promise didn't come from a strange, unknown company, but from a name already present in every drawer and utility bill of American life. In 1908, the first Book of Modern Homes and Building Plans from Sears was born. Inside were not just drawings, they were dreams ready to be assembled. Each house model was named, with dimensions, floor plans, price, and a complete list of materials. Viewers weren't just looking at a design, they saw a life that could happen within it. A living room where children would read the newspaper, a kitchen where the wife would cook breakfast, a porch where the family would relax on summer evenings. Compared to finding a contractor, negotiating prices, and waiting months for construction, choosing a home in a catalog, signing the papers, and waiting for a train car of materials was like shortening an entire year into a few weeks.
And that sounded fantastic. Of course, once it arrived, you had to pick it up at the rail yard. And then there was that other very basic piece. You had to build the house.
The assembly instructions were easy to understand. Every part was coded, and the construction sequence was logical. So even an unskilled working family could build their home without feeling helpless amidst the pile of wood, nails, glass, and walls. Behind every Sears house wasn't just an economic story, but a story of social order. When a family built their house, neighbors often pitched in. Children watched. Passersby stopped to ask. A Sears house was sometimes built not just by one family, but by an entire neighborhood contributing labor. And thus, when the porch was finished, the celebratory meal belonged not just to one household, but to an entire community. This created a cultural characteristic that modern pre-built homes cannot replicate. A house was not just received, it was erected by the owner's own hands. When a family built a home from a Sears kit, they weren't just buying a product. They were entering their family history with a milestone no one could erase. Sears also gained ground because, compared to the market price at the time, catalog homes were significantly cheaper. A house could range from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars. Cheaper than hiring a contractor, cheaper than buying materials retail, and save time.
And in some cases, Sears would provide construction services. Our folks would hire local carpenters to help with various parts. Otherwise, it's kind of like an old-fashioned barn building. All the friends and neighbors came to help. If I had been around at that point, I was not, don't even think of that. But if I'd been around and anyone had asked me, Larry, you want to help build my house for me? My response then would be the same as today when asked to do something. I'd say, that sounds like a project. And indeed it was. That sounds like a project, and I have a motto. I don't do projects, so I was not going to be of any use to them. You know, several communities still contain these homes, now valued at hundreds of thousands of dollars. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Well, in 1908, Sears started offering entire kit homes through these catalogs. You could purchase a kit home out of a catalog, and it would come to you in about 30,000 pieces of house. And they included a 75-page instruction book with the house, so you'd know how to put all those pieces of house together.
What these kits didn't come with was the person who put the homes together, giving a whole new meaning to the term, some assembly required.
Sears promised a man of average abilities could assemble one of these homes in about 90 days.
Typically, it took a little longer than that for your average kit homeowner. Most people recruited their family and friends to work nights and weekends, and for many, it was more like 9 months than 90 days. But for some, it took even longer.
I got another great letter from somebody who said they had a Sears kit home they moved in 1946. I said, well, that's interesting, but Sears actually stopped selling these in 1940. She said, oh, you don't understand, I bought it in 39, we finished in 46.
That would be me helping out, or not helping out. That's part of a Channel 9 PBS documentary. The previous soundbite you're hearing is from another documentary titled Back to Yesterday. But the PBS documentary also pointed out how many of these Sears modern homes, the kit houses, exist in the St. Louis area, St. Louis, Jefferson City, and Springfield?
About 5-6 years ago, somebody asked me to write an article about the Sears homes in Carlinville. Carlinville, Illinois has 152 Sears homes in a 12-block area. So I drove over there expecting to, you know, dash off one quick article and get my check, as most freelancers do. And I went over there and I drove the 12 blocks of these Sears homes, and I was smitten. I was completely in love. And then as I researched the story, I was just ever more enamored of the whole affair, because these came in boxcars. They came in pieces and bits, and people build them.
Rose is attracted to these homes because of how they came to be. Customers thumbed through Sears catalogs like they were shopping for tools or furniture. And, well, they ordered themselves a house.
Richard Warren Sears is one of my heroes in history. I mean, he was an absolute genius at merchandising. And his catalog at its peak had 1,400 pages, 100,000 items, and weighed 4 pounds. He suspected that getting more people into a home of their own was a way to sell more of the stuff in his catalog. So that, I think that was a driving part of why he started selling kit homes.
And by the way, that catalog often became a permanent fixture in outdoor outhouses. With not enough toilet paper. You get the idea? Right. That was, again, part of the PBS special. And the woman talking, Rosemary Thornton Wheeler, she wrote a couple of books about all this, The House the Sears Built and Finding the Houses that Sears Built, which is what she was doing and talking about in Carlinville. Significant numbers like Kirkwood had about 25 homes, Webster Groves, Glendale similar. Jefferson City had additional, Springfield, and many of them have stamped lumber in the basement, attics, or recognizable design kits. And all of this, according to another documentary, this house was a good idea until.
Well, the Great Depression hit Sears hard, forcing the company to stop offering mortgage financing by 1933. Despite the setback, the company continued to sell homes until 1942. Over the program's lifetime, Sears sold more than 70,000 homes across North America, many of which are still standing today. As the economy began bouncing back following World War II, others attempted to pick up where Sears Roebuck and Company left off. In the 1950s, one of America's most celebrated architects, Frank Lloyd Wright, partnered with Marshall Erdman, who was selling prefab housing. Their partnership went on to create architect-designed housing for the middle class, and while their collaboration wasn't overly successful, it inspired more modest and practical designs to hit the market under other companies. The most successful kit homes in this period were designed by St. Louis-based architect Ralph Fournier, whose homes ended up in 195 cities around the world. His process required that every single wall be fully finished in a factory and then shipped out to the lot. Once there, bolts would be fastened, and within a single day, an entire house could be completed. He offered a variety of plans with very few customizations, which were mostly cosmetic, and required only that a slab foundation be ready to assemble the house on. Throughout the mid-century, kit homes evolved to have less and less parts, relying more on factories to assemble large components before shipping them out to be assembled. This then turned into an entire residences being built before being shipped out. This includes everything from trailers to cracker box housing. Unfortunately, in simplifying this process, these residences became less and less desirable as the decades rolled on. By the 1990s, what was once viewed as a fashionable and inexpensive housing option for the middle class became synonymous with the lower class, which is terribly unfortunate because this method of building houses is far more economical and quicker to build.
Fournier, Ralph Fournier, and his wife, built a lot of homes, about 1,100 square feet for the most part, three bedrooms, one bath, selling for around $14,000. He had said in a 2017 Post-Dispatch interview, they were good homes for people who didn't have a lot of money. And many of the Fournier homes still exist in North and West St. Louis County. And elsewhere around the nation, other Sears homes. And the value of these homes, if they've been maintained properly, and many times added on to. It's a 1925 colonial-style home in D.C. It was a Sears, Roebuck & Company kit home, titled the Martha Washington. Sold in the 1920s for $3,700. It sold last year, according to, let me correct that, in 2016, it sold for $1.06 million. That's a good return on your money if you're still around. And many of the homes, even in more recent times, have sold above $600,000. When they originally were bought for maybe no more than $3,500, maybe $4,000. Some homeowners have overhauled the homes entirely, but many have wanted to keep the original look and design, at least the frontage. But as you heard, part of the issue was that Sears also offered financing. But when the Depression came along, it had to drop off offering the financing. Ralph Fournier did not do just the Sears Roebuck homes. He, again, designed many. He passed away at age 98 in 2020. Big box stores, in some cases, are still offering plans and kits. Some of your major lumber yard companies, you might still find, are offering do-it-yourself home building. Full set of plans, how to put everything together. You just have to do the work, which, again, don't bother calling me. You'd be wasting your time. I don't do projects. The story behind the story tomorrow. The death of one of the more controversial presidents we have. Obviously not Trump. Richard Nixon. That's tomorrow. Second hour still to come, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for a Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.